Blog Talk Radio.
I know the Bible is right.
It's The Bible Has the Answers with Pastor Aaron B. Williams, coming to you live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Pastor Williams believes if you have a question, the Bible has the answers. Join us Wednesday on the show or at I Am Jesus Holy Ghost Church in Columbia, South Carolina, where service times are Tuesday night prayer at 7 p.m., Sabbath Friday service at 7 p.m., and Saturday Sabbath Day service at 12 noon. Our motto is, it pays to serve God. Hit us up at IamJesusHolyGhostChurch.org. That's Pastor Aaron B. Williams, live on Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Come on and get the Word of God at its highest level.
Well, the Bible is right. The Bible is right. You know the Bible is right, glory to God. The Lord Jesus declares that it's right. And Pastor, every single week, I declare that it's right. And if you try it, you'll find out that it's right. Amen? Glory to God. And as I say every week, I'm happy about it. I'm happy that there's something in this upside-down world that's right. Amen? And when we want to get unconvoluted from the things all around us, all we've got to do is spend a little time in the Bible and in prayer, and that will iron us right back out straight again. We'll come right back out straight again. Well, beloved, glory to God, we're in the 14th chapter of Proverbs. That's the way the Lord led us to begin to teach in Proverbs, and we've reached the 14th chapter, and we're at the last verse, the 35th verse, the last verse in the 14th chapter. Amen? And the last verse of the 14th chapter, or Proverbs 35, reads like this in the King James Version. It says, "The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causes shame." Amen? The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causes shame. Glory to God. Well, beloved, glory to God, we look at this verse, and at first, because it's in Old English, it seems a little obscure, and it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense until we understand the concept here. And the concept here, think about a king. Think about the days way back there. They still have kings in some places. You know, Monaco has a king. And I think Monaco has a king, England has a king, Burundi has a king, Saudi Arabia has a king. They have a crown prince now, but they have a king. A lot of nations still have a king. And when you're a king and you have to run a nation, now, we're trying to understand the concept here, okay? And when we understand the concept, then we can apply it to ourselves and understand what Solomon was trying to teach. Amen? He was trying to teach something very important here. What was he trying to teach? Well, just use your memory. You've seen pictures on TV of kings and sword-fighting pictures and castles and all that. You like them kind of movies. Well, there's a king, right? But a king can't rule a whole kingdom on his own. He can't. In fact, most kings are little wimpy guys, and they rule, but they don't know how to fight. If they had to fight the enemy coming, what's notable about the rich and kings, they hire someone else to do their fighting because they're little puny people. They couldn't fight anybody. But they understand that, and they understand I can't rule a whole kingdom all by myself. So what does that mean? That means I have to have many men throughout my whole kingdom. Now, the larger the kingdom, the more people he has to have to help him to rule that kingdom. And the people that help him rule that kingdom, in some kingdoms they're called dukes. In some kingdoms they're called prime ministers that help him rule the kingdom. In some kingdoms, they're called judges. There's all kind of names counselors, princesses, princesses, all kinds of judges, all kind of people that he needs to help him. He needs tax collectors. He needs generals to run his army. He needs all kind of people. Amen. To run a kingdom, you need all kinds of people. Now, but you see what this says. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causes shame. So what do we have there? What we have there is, glory to God, that there'll be wise people who will be in positions of power and rulership and administration, and there'll be foolish people who will rise up and be in powerful positions. And so what is the king's job? The king's job is to watch over the people that are under him in very powerful positions. And if they're good and they do their jobs well, it says here the king's favor is toward a wise servant. Amen? But his wrath is against him that causes shame. So if he has, like in Daniel's day, there was 124 governors over 120 provinces, and above them were three presidents, and Daniel was the chief over the three presidents. So all of that was the governmental structure of that country. And a king has to have a governmental structure. And the first thing you need to have, if you're going to have any kind of kingdom, you have to have law and order. That's why a lot of places, a lot of kingdoms or countries in Africa, that is the only reason why they don't have outside investments and they're not prospering. Because who's going to move a factory into a country where there's no law and order? You move your factory there's no law and order, someone's going to come, break in, steal all your equipment, or burn it down, or kill your workers. You cannot have, if you're going to have a prosperous kingdom, you have to have a strong governmental structure. But when you have a strong governmental structure, you're dealing with men and women in positions, you put men and women in positions of power. And sometimes people lose perspective, or they never had perspective to know that they're there to serve the king and the people. And they forget all about the people and the king, and they start serving their own interests. They use their position of power to line their own pockets. They become corrupt and take, in order for you to get anything done, if you pay them, they'll sign, stamp your contract, or they'll give you your documents that you need. If you don't give them a bribe, you don't get the documents. You don't get the passport or whatever you need. And when you have corrupt people, what the king's job actually is that he is to watch over his administrators. And if he has a wise servant, he is to promote them. Now, why does he promote them? He promotes them to let everybody know, the rest of the governmental people, the rest of the people in power, and the people, that righteousness exalts. If you do the right thing, you get promoted. The king gives you all kind of promotions. If you do the wrong thing, the king takes you out of office, and he demotes you, and sometimes you can even lose your life. And when we think about the king's favor is toward a wise servant, we see, glory to God, as examples, we see people in Scripture like Joseph. Joseph, glory to God, after a long process, God processed him and broke his heart by taking him away from his family forcibly and crushing him so that his total reliance would be on God. Because God knew that a time was coming when he would have to depend 100% on God. But God took him to a place where he was prepared and ready for high office. And after he was crushed and processed by God, God promoted him and caused him to become prime minister of Egypt, glory to God. And he received favor, glory to God, because he was a wise servant. He was Pharaoh's servant, and when he went in before Pharaoh, one, he didn't come in after all 13 years being in the dungeon. He didn't come in bitter and angry. He didn't come before Pharaoh and said, Pharaoh, I'm innocent. I'm a Hebrew. I was taken. They took me and sold me into slavery, and I'm down here in Egypt by mistake. I'm really a Hebrew that is innocent, and your people took me, and they did me wrong, Pharaoh. Give me a break. Take me out. Set me loose, Pharaoh. No, he didn't do that. He didn't. The Bible said that the king's favor is toward a wise servant. Now, Joseph was wise because when he was in the dungeon, he had on nasty, stinky rags. He probably had a long beard, and he was filthy. And when they came down there and said, Joseph, the Pharaoh wants to talk to you. He's dreamed a dream, and he wants you to come up and interpret it. Joseph was a wise servant. What did he do? Did he run upstairs and run before Pharaoh stinking? No. The Bible says that before he went into Pharaoh, he washed himself. He shaved. Why? Because all the Egyptians were clean shaven. And he shaved, and he put on fresh clothes. And then he went into Pharaoh, and he let Pharaoh do the talking. Amen? He could have told Pharaoh, look, I have supernatural ability for interpretation of dreams. You can't tell me nothing, Pharaoh. First of all, you don't know God, and you can't tell me. And I'm the man of God of power for this hour, and I know what I'm talking about. And you don't know a thing. You ain't even a babe in Christ. You ain't even born again. You can't tell me. No, he didn't go in like that. He didn't go in like that. The Bible says the king's favor is toward a wise servant. Joseph went in very wise. He went in and he talked. He came before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, "I'm paraphrasing now." Pharaoh said, "I heard you can interpret dreams. I had a dream, and I heard you can interpret dreams." And Joseph said, I'm paraphrasing, it's not in me. God will give you the interpretation. God is the one who gives interpretations. He was wise. He gave all the glory to God. Amen. And I thought it was interesting when I was perusing these things that I was reading a book by Catherine Kuhlman, and they said that one of the most positive traits about her was she would constantly give God all the glory. She would give God all the glory. If someone got healed, she'd say, God did it. God, oh, Catherine, you the healer. No, I'm not. God did it. And then when Joseph came in to Pharaoh, he kept saying, God will give you the interpretation. God will do it. He said, God this, God that, God this. What was he? He was a wise servant. Amen. He was a wise servant. And this verse, can you start to get some daylight on this verse? It's true. It harks back to them when they had kings in the old days, but you can see from application, I'm going to show you that we can be wise servants too. It's going to come around to us. I'm going to come around up to us. Hold on. I'm going to get there. Glory to God. And so Joseph went before Pharaoh, and he listened to Pharaoh's dream. A lot of times people talk before they hear what it is the person is saying. They cut the person off. You can't even hear the issue because the person is so busy telling you, but yet they're calling. See, Pharaoh called him to interpret the dream. It's the Pharaoh's credit that after he got through telling Joseph the dream, Pharaoh shut up and listened to what the Spirit of God would say through Joseph. Amen. He didn't say, I'm Pharaoh. You're nothing but a slave. You can't. In fact, get on your face before me. Because I'm the living God in Egypt, and you don't say nothing to me unless I let you. No, he didn't. When he got through talking to Joseph, he shut up and listened to what Joseph had to say. Hold on, I'm right up against a commercial. Hold on, it's going to get better. Hold on, I'll be right back. Hold on.
Do you need tile installed in your home or business? Then John Robinson Tile, LLC, is the company for you. We have over 60 years of experience installing tile. We do bathrooms, kitchens, and so much more. Give us a call at 803-529-0092. Check out our website, at www.johnrobinsontile2.com. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, too. Just search J. Rob Tile or John Robinson Tile. We're licensed and insured and Schluter certified. If you need tile installed, we are your company. We believe in laying hands on everything that we do. That's John Robinson Tile Installation Service for new and old homes. Renovation of kitchens and bathrooms, installs all types. That's John Robinson Tile, the number 2.com.
Glory to God. For saying to God, you may be asking, glory to God, well, what this story got to do with me, amen? Well, think about it, glory to God. We're servants, amen? We're servants, and God is our master, amen? And the king's favor is toward a wise servant. We are charged with a work, amen? We're charged with telling people about Jesus and telling people the way to life, eternal life. And we want to be wise servants who are doing the will of God, who are doing the will of our Father, so he can say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen? Glory to God. Joseph, glory to God, came in and talked to Pharaoh and told him the dream, and Pharaoh made him prime minister. Why? Because Joseph, glory to God, was he got the king's favor because he was a wise servant. Glory to God. The converse is someone like Haman, glory to God. Haman was prime minister under Ahasuerus in Babylon, glory to God. And he turned out to be a foolish servant because what did he do? Well, to make the long story short, I'm down to about 12 minutes, so I can't expound on that story. I'm just hoping that you know the story of Esther, Queen Esther, glory to God. And you remember Haman toward the way back, toward the end of the story. I got to move on so I can only tell you the end of the story. He was a very foolish servant. Why? Because he wrote a decree for the destruction of all the Jews, but he didn't do his homework because he didn't know that Esther, the queen of the whole kingdom of Persia, the whole kingdom, the primary queen, King Ahasuerus' queen, glory to God, the second in the entire kingdom, glory to God, was a Jew. He didn't know that. And so he did foolishly. He wrote a decree that all the Jews were to be destroyed. And when the queen went into the king and told him, I'm summing this up because I can't tell you the whole story in full. I'm just hoping that you remember the story of Queen Esther. Glory to God. If you don't, open your Bible and read it when we get off the air. Glory to God. What did he say? Glory to God. Queen Esther went in, glory to God, and talked to the king and asked the king and said, oh, king, please, please don't destroy me and my people. And the king said, what are you talking about? You're the queen. What on earth are you talking about? He said, wicked Haman has signed a decree that all Jews have to be killed. And I'm a Jew and my people are Jews. And so Haman, when he heard that, his eyes popped open because he realized, oh, my goodness, I've done shamefully. I done messed up now. What am I going to do? And so the king, when he heard that Haman wanted to kill the queen, and you have to read between the lines to know that, because it doesn't say he tried to kill the queen. But if he wrote the decree that all Jews were to be assassinated, the queen was a Jew. She should have been assassinated. So when the king understood that Haman wrote a decree that the queen was to be assassinated, he got so mad, he went out of the room and was on the balcony walking back and forth trying to figure out what he was going to do to Haman. And while he was out of the room, Haman fell down and started begging the queen and telling her, oh, look, I'm just paraphrasing what he might have said. I didn't know they was your people. I didn't know it was you. And so in doing that, he fell on the bed, the queen's bed. And when he fell on the bed, just at that moment, the king walked back through the door. And here's this man laying on the queen's bed. The queen is there, and this man is laying on her bed. And the king said, wait a minute, that's my wife. You laying on my wife's bed? So not only do you want to destroy, what you going to do, have sex with her in front of me? He got so mad, he looked out the window and said, whose gallows is that? And the servant said, oh, Haman had the gallows built for Mordecai, to hang Mordecai on it. So the king said, well, hang Haman on it. Hang Haman on his own gallows. He going to fall on my woman's bed. What, are you going to try to make love with it in front of me? Hang him. Take his head. Hang him. Amen. What happened? Haman acted foolishly. Amen. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causes shame. Haman caused shame. Amen. Glory to God. Going to do something right in front of the king. Amen. Glory to God. And in Proverbs 12:3, let's look at Proverbs 12:3 real quick. Proverbs 12:3 says, glory to God, a man shall not be established by wickedness. Amen. A man shall not be established by wickedness. And then 16:12 says, 16:12 says, glory to God, it is abominations to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. So that teaches you, glory to God, if you have a ministry or you have an organization or you have a business, how is it established? How can you get your business established? The Bible has the answers. Right there is the answer, how to have a successful business. What? It says that a business will be established by righteousness, and it won't be established by unrighteousness. So what that tell you? In business, you have to be absolutely fair. You have to be absolutely honest. You have to be absolutely moral. Amen? Because the Bible says you'll not be established by unrighteousness. So in order, that gives you an answer right there. How can I have a successful business? Make sure that in all your dealings, you're righteous in all you do. Do the right thing, because people will pick up on it. They don't want you to advertise a pound or something and you get 7/8 of a pound. Look at candy bars now. You used to get a candy bar for 15 cents. Glory to God. Not only now the candy bar costs a dollar, and when you go to eat it, it's so thin, it's almost paper thin. They done cut the weight of it and up the price at the same time. And I guess they think people won't notice the difference. People are not stupid. Amen. They get it. They see what you did. They understand that the bar used to be heavy and now it's so paper thin. They wonder, is this the same candy bar? But at the same time, when they ask how much it is, now it's a dollar. Glory to God. A dollar? Used to get it for 15 cents. Well, you going to pay a dollar now. Amen. Glory to God. You want to be honest in all your dealings. Amen. And God will cause. The Bible here says the king's favor, God's favor, is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causes shame. And how much more shameful? Now, I'm going to say something that might be a little hurtful, glory to God, but it's the truth, so I'm going to say it. Ministers of God, glory to God, that God entrusts with his sons and daughters, how shameful is it to them? How shame shall they have when they come before the judgment seat of Christ and the ministers have stolen money out the church, or they mess with the ladies, or they corrupt, or they twisted the word of God for their own advantage, or they use their authority? How shameful is that? How shameful is it when God entrusts you with children to raise children? He causes you to be born of two children, gives two children to you, and you don't bother about feeding them the right food, and you don't care for them, and you don't help them with their homework, and you don't take them to church, and you don't try to give them an honest chance in life because you're too lazy to get up off your hips and take them to church on Sunday. And then how shameful is it, glory to God, for parents to teach their children how to take dope and how to trick men and how to trick women and all kinds of, how shameful is that going to be? The Bible says God's wrath is against him that causes shame. God has committed his word. God has committed his truth into our hands. He's trusted us. He's put that in our trust. Glory to God. And glory to God, he counts on us to do the right thing. Amen. To be wise servants. And to handle that word wisely, amen? And if we're wise servants, we'll handle the word of God wisely, amen? Why? so that God can look at us. The thing that's going to count, glory to God, the thing that's going to count is when you come before God. One day you're going to come before Jesus. One day you're going to come before Jesus. And the Bible says, glory to God, he's going to give you according to your works, glory to God. And how would you like it if he looks at you and everybody else got a crown of life and you walk up and he says, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You didn't take your stewardship seriously. You fooled around and you were supposed to be helping the women and you was raping the women. And the money that I brought for keep that lighthouse open so the gospel could stay being preached so people could find their way back to God. And you used it to buy Bentleys and Rolls Royces and all kind of riches and enrich yourself. I don't have nothing against riches, but you used it all to enrich yourself. And you lived high and prosperous with soft clothing while members of your church were starving. And you didn't even teach them all kind of aspects of my word. I can't give you the crown of life. I can't give it to you. I'm sorry. I just can't give it to you. Glory to God. And glory to God. You haven't been a faithful servant. I can't let you through the gates of New Jerusalem. I have to. You'll still be saved. Glory to God. But you'll be outside the gates. I can't give you permission to come into the gates. I'm sorry. Glory to God. And then the next person, as you're walking away, you hear the Lord Jesus say to the next person, well done, my good and faithful servant. Here is the crown of life of faithfulness. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You hear that. And you go off into everlasting, eternal shame. Amen. Oh, you'll be saved. Glory to God. Because there'll be saved nations all around New Jerusalem, amen? But you won't be able to enter, glory to God. And you're going to rue the day. You're going to rue the day. The only thing that really, really matters when it's all said and done is Jesus looking at you and saying, well done, my good and faithful servant, glory to God. You wasn't perfect, glory to God, but you was in there. You was hanging in there. You was doing the best that you could with what I gave you, glory to God. And I understand your toils and your trials, glory to God. And I'm going to wipe all tears from your eyes, glory to God. I want to present you with this crown of life. And you bend over, and he puts a beautiful diadem on your head. And for eternity, you walk around with that crown that the Lord Jesus gave you for faithful service. Amen. Proverbs 14:35. The king's favor, Jesus' favor, is toward a wise servant, the one who does his will. Amen. But his wrath is against him that causes shame. Be a wise servant. Amen. You may not know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but I say to people, you do know how you got saved. You do know your testimony. You do know what God did for you. You do know what God delivered you from. And you may not be able to say expound the gospel in every aspect, but you can. I know you know how to say that Jesus saved you. I know that you know how to say that since the time you got saved, your life has changed, glory to God. I know you know how to say that you can depend on the Lord Jesus and that he never let you down and he never forsook you. Even when you went through trouble, he stuck with you through thick and thin. And you know that's the truth. You can tell somebody that. You can tell people how you get the victory every day because no weapon formed against you prosper. I didn't say when you get saved, everything is going to be peaches and cream, and you never expect any hard battles. No. You're gonna receive hard battles. But the Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. The Lord delivereth him out of them all. Glory to God. Glory to God. And this week, the Lord let us know once again that if you got trouble, call on Jesus. You know, I had some other trouble that I was going through, and it dawned on me because I had tried to fix it with all kind of natural ways, And then it dawned on me what the Lord had said Sunday. He said, he didn't tell me to try to fix things the natural way. He said, if you got trouble, call on Jesus. And so I stopped and called on Jesus. Amen. And that thing was healed. Amen. I'm telling you today, I'm on overtime, but I'm telling you, if you got trouble, call on Jesus. God bless you. Pastor Williams, I'm out of time. The Bible has the answers. See you next week. I love you. Bye-bye. What is it? 7:30 exactly.
I know the Bible is right.
It's The Bible Has the Answers with Pastor Aaron B. Williams, coming to you live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Pastor Williams believes if you have a question, the Bible has the answers. Join us Wednesday on the show or at I Am Jesus Holy Ghost Church in Columbia, South Carolina, where service times are Tuesday night prayer at 7 p.m., Sabbath Friday service at 7 p.m., and Saturday Sabbath Day service at 12 noon. Our motto is, it pays to serve God. Hit us up at IamJesusHolyGhostChurch.org. That's Pastor Aaron B. Williams, live on Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Come on and get the Word of God at its highest level.